take. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that overcome. O King of Hunger, the King of Come.
Let it be heart,
let it be soul.
Praise you, Lord.
All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. God who restores with just one world the world was for. You are the Spirit breaking forth through the dawn and night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is a victory. Your God is overcome. King of kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth. Stronger than the grave. And your love has overcome the darkest of days.
Has he overcome? Come on.
Your light is brighter than the sun, is stronger than the grave. And your love has overcome the darkest of days. All of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise the Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
God. shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Let's get loud.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Jump into another song. I think we rush his presence way too much. Just take a moment. Everyone just start talking to God. Talk to your Father. Thank you, Jesus.
For our sins, that we don't have to come to you perfect. We can come to you broken, sinning, and you will help us to be the man and woman that you have created us to be. Lord, I ask that you help us to open our minds, our hearts, and our ears today to receive what you have for us.
And you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No
about this game that's going to go on today. And I feel like this area right here, I appreciate you guys lifting your hands. It's not for me or the team. It's for the Lord. But you can come down and give your offering, but give an offering of praise. Pretend this is the touchdown zone this morning. How about that? I know it's COVID and all this stuff. Whatever, man. We used to lay hands on people, and we're going to relieve the sick. That's what we got to believe in. So let's pretend this is the touchdown zone this morning and see you guys flood this altar, not worshiping us, you're worshiping the Lord and showing other people, wow, this is real. There's somebody standing in these back doors this morning and might go, oh, there's not enough room for me, and they leave, like when you go to a restaurant. You know, the best restaurants have all the people in them, right? We want to build this church, I believe, but it's not about numbers, it's about souls. So this morning, if we can, let's pretend this is the touchdown zone. Let's go.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. A week or two ago, it was frosty outside, and I'm the type that when it's frosty out, I don't have time to warm up my car. I'm gonna make a little circle so I can see out my window and drive. So I asked Jalen, can you go out and start my car for me? So he went out and started my car, and then when I went to leave, on my hood it said, I love you, in the frost. And some of you may have seen that. I had shared it on my Facebook, but it just made my day that he showed me he loved me by doing something so simple like that. Well, God shares his love with us every single day by either the sunshine after the rain, by the birds flying, but just his unconditional love for us, that he never turns his back on us regardless of what we do. Well, you all can be seated in the house today. Do we have any first-time guests? Well, welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We thank you for being with us. And if there are any first-time guests, it's hard to see out there, you can meet Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy in the foyer. And it's offering time in the house. You can drop your offering here in the buckets, online, or on the app.
In the fullness of your grace. Well, praise the Lord. Strength and hope like no other. How many of you found the Lord to be your very present help in the time of trouble? Come on, give the Lord praise. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Good to see young people involved. Next Sunday will be a youth Sunday for us. We're starting a series today called Family Matters. Family Matters. Today I'll be preaching. Next Sunday Pastor Joy will be preaching, but the youth will have portions of the service, so be sure and be here next Sunday for Family Matters. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you today, Lord, with humble hearts, thankful hearts, hearts that lift up our spirit to you and just say thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending us your Son, Lord, to die for us so that we could live. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for talking to us today from your word about the family. Bless our online audience, God. Bless those who are watching today. Bless those who will go back and visit and listen to today's message. May it find a lodging place in our heart, Lord, that we might discover your truth in a world that has seemingly charted the course away from you. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Family matters. Husbands, love, your wives. I'm excited to begin a three-message series today called Family Matters. In fact, let me just say it like it's really intended to be said. Family matters. Come on. Come on. Family matters. Exclamation point. And listen, I never thought that I would even have to mention this. Those of you that aren't, Sydney has this now so that we can follow the messages online. You can pull it down on the church app. It's a fill-in-the-blank thing. It's a way for you to go back and visit. It's a way for you to follow along with the text today. And it's on our church app. Praise God. Thank God for that inclusion there. I never thought I'd have to even mention this, but I must say it as a disclaimer. What do I mean by family? When you say family matters, what does Pastor mean when he says family matters? What is a family? How do you define a family unit? And the reason that I must mention this disclaimer, this important point of clarity and definition, is because of the society that you and I live in. What I say today is not intended to hurt anyone's feelings. It's not intended to try to wreck your thought processes, but rather to bring your thought processes, here we go, aligned with the Word of God. Okay? And so really we're asking today, what does God say a family is? Amen? Somebody asked a pastor one day, he's a friend of mine, he told me about this that happened. He said, they came to him and said, Pastor, how do you feel about homosexuality? And the pastor said to them, he said, why are you asking me? Why are you asking me to say something about homosexuality when God has already spoken about it? OK? Okay. Why are you asking me? He said, why don't you just go to the Word of God and see what God says? I mean, you and I live in a country today that our nation, just a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, flanked the entire White House and the White House lawn with the rainbow flag. Remember seeing that on television? That's the nation that we live in. The enemy has done his very best to, here we go, redefine the family, to infect the God-intended, God-ordained, God-created family with alternatives. And you know, you can try to dismiss it. Some of you say, man, I just wish you wouldn't talk about this because I have that in my family. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? So no one's trying to single you out, or you say, well, he was looking at me when he started preaching. No. I'm preaching a series. I know where I'm preaching November, October, September. I know where we're going the whole year, okay? I spent weeks working out a preaching calendar, so I'm not preaching at anyone. I'm preaching the download that the Holy Spirit gave me to address in 2022. Amen. Not here talking about your brother, not here picking on your sister or your cousin. No. We're just preaching the Word of God. Amen. And you wouldn't think that we would have to address issues like this. But in the culture that we live today, we've created, and they even call them alternative lifestyles. Now think about that. You no longer say, well, who's your husband or who's your wife? We've got to scratch that and say, who's your significant other? Come on. Who's your significant other? Well, my significant other is a female, okay? She's very significant, okay? Significant enough that we've been together 40 years, okay? 40 years. Not in a perfect marriage. I recall one day when I lived in Edenton several years ago, I recall one day stepping out of my little 14 by 70 mobile home and throwing the keys at her just as hard as I could and said, you can have the car too! Okay? Remember that. Guess what I was doing in my life then? I was a preacher. I was a pastor. But I was very angry that day. And pastors are normal people, okay? They're normal people. In fact, I've tried to be very forthright in sharing my life with you. It's not a perfect life. It's a life that is normal, okay? I didn't think I'd ever have to stand in a pulpit and address issues. And, you know, they tell you, be careful, be careful. I'm not being careful. I'm being honest, okay? I'm not being careful. I'm being honest. I'm letting my messages come from the foundation of God's holy word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God said, my word will never pass away. Not one jot, nor one tittle, okay? The word of God's the word of God. Just this past week, Pastor Joy and I were traveling back from Pennsylvania. Man, we've lived out of a suitcase for 3.5 or 4 weeks now. Coming back from Pennsylvania as we concluded the burial services for Sister Lau. We stopped along the way for some lunch, and Pastor Joy had made her way to the restroom, and she came back to the table, and I was just finishing up, and I said, well, before we go, she's going to fill the teas up. How many of y'all know you just fill your cup up before you leave the restaurant? Come on. And so she was going to fill them up. She said, well, notice the sign when you get to the bathroom. I said, what? She said, just look at it. Notice the sign. And there were two restrooms, not a male restroom nor a female restroom. There were two restrooms, and they said gender neutral restroom. So look at the silhouette there. You got a woman on the far left. You got a man there in the middle. And then you got a half of a dress. and a half of just a pair of slacks. And by the way, if you're handicapped, you can pee-pee too. Okay? Jonathan, you could use that bathroom, man. Okay? They wouldn't run you out of there. And I looked at that. I mean, I stood there and I looked at it. I thought, wow, no wonder she said, take a look at the sign on the restroom. This is where we live today. A nation that has, you know, that has basically shoved this down your throat. A nation that has said, we don't care what the Bible says. This is how it's going to be if we're going to be, here we go, politically correct. I don't desire to be politically correct. I don't stand here today with some sense of arrogance. I don't stand here today because I'm totally against gays or homosexuals. If you're here today and you're struggling with your sexuality, man, I'd love to talk to you after the service. You can call me 287-7572, okay? I'd love to talk to you. I'm not here to condemn anyone. But I can promise you that if you could just allow me to sit down and talk with you, that I could talk to you about the hope and a future. I watched a documentary just a few weeks ago, just for a few moments, and the documentary was visiting the homosexual community in their late 70s, 80s, some of them were, and a couple of them were even almost 90 years old. And they were talking about how their life had seen times of enjoyment and pleasure and happiness, but they'd reached the place now to the end, and some of them were very, very regretful. They have no kids. They have no family. They have no heritage. They have basically how they lived for their own satisfaction. And it was sad to watch. I thought, you know, look at where we are. Look at where we are. I never will forget. I was in another country. I forget which country I was in. But I was in the men's restroom. And I was, you know, if you're a man, you know the deal. The urinals are on the wall. And you stand, okay? You stand. And I just looked to my right. And out of my peripheral vision, I saw a dress. I thought, wait a minute. Did I come in the wrong one? No, there's a urinal. There's a urinal on the wall. I'm standing at the right spot. So I finished and, you know, zip, and I just walked that way and went. And just looked. And it was a dress. And the person in the dress flushed and turned around. And it was undoubtedly a guy, but he was presenting himself like this, the third one. Just, he was struggling about what he was, struggling about who he was. And I thought, man, what a culture. What a culture. This is the kind of world that we live in today. I was not prepared in ministry to deal with such challenges, such differences, such alternatives. But the reality is this, that is precisely what has transpired within this fallen world. Here we are in the 21st century. And it's with this awareness that my disclaimer is that I will present to you a definition of family based upon Judeo-Christian values, okay? Based upon the biblical perspective of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible is clear. Genesis 1:27 says that after God created everything else, and here's the words, he saw that it was what? Good. And it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Here we go. Male and female, he created them. Wouldn't you like to watch a TV show? Have you ever been enjoying a television show, like a Netflix series or something, and you get into like the fifth one, and all of a sudden you have to see two women kissing? You know, you just lost me. You lost me on the whole. I don't even want to watch the rest of the series. And I was enjoying this. Can't even watch Grey's Anatomy, a good hospital thing, without having this stuff thrown in your face. Okay? It's sad. This is a sad truth. It's a sad truth. You know, and again, I'm not here to throw stones, okay? I'm not here to throw stones at all. I just don't understand how we got where we are. And you know, it's not a new problem. This is not a new problem. It existed in the Bible. In fact, how many of you ever heard of a place called the Dead Sea? I jumped overboard 250 pounds off the edge of the Dead Sea 15 years ago. 50 feet of water. You can't do that now because they're losing the Dead Sea. But in those days, I jumped off of 50 feet and 250 pounds, no life preserver, and plunk, I popped up like a cork. You can sit. You can't even dive down in the Dead Sea because it won't let you. There's so many minerals in there, just it's impossible. So you can sit like you're reading a newspaper. And when you think about the Dead Sea, why do they call it dead? Because there's no life in it. And beneath the Dead Sea is what? Anybody know? What's at the bottom of the Dead Sea? Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank you. A nation that was judged because of what? Because of alternatives. You know, this is a biblical truth. You don't think God has already cast his judgment on this kind of thing? He has. You don't think God has already spoken about issues of homosexuality? He has. He's spoken about it. It's not right. It's not right. It's not normal. What is normal? It's a setting on your dryer. Okay? That's all it is anymore. It's a setting on your dryer. Okay? Genesis 1:27, Genesis, God created them. Male and female, he created them. God created male, a boy, him. God created him. I grew up in my grandma's stories, my grandma's nursery rhymes, and I remember this one. What are little boys made of? Little boys are made of what are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. You know, boys, fire trucks, noise, cops and robbers and the like. Boys who grow up to like girls. Do you love me? Yes or no? Check the box and tell me so. Remember that? I remember that one. Passing the note. Through a friend, would you give this to her? Do you love me, yes or no? Check the box and tell me so. God created male, and then God created female, a girl, a she. And grandma helped us here too with her stories and her nursery rhymes. What are little girls made of? What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. You know, girls, doll babies, kitchen, mud pies, girls who grow up to like boys. Girls who grow up to like boys. Wow. The concept of family was introduced in the beginning. And as we see in Genesis 1:28, God said to them, he blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful. Notice what God says here now. He's created man, he's created woman, Adam, Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve. And he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. I wonder how Bill Gates feels about that. Bill Gates is the one who said that the only answer for this world is depopulation. In a meeting, the only answer for this world is depopulation. In other words, let's reduce the number of people that we have on planet Earth. Mr. Gates, how shall we do so? Only two ways, he said. We need to vaccinate more people. Who funded the vaccine that's really not even approved yet? Bill Gates. Wow. Who's a wanted man in many countries? He's a wanted man. Bill Gates said the only answer is to depopulate, and the only way to do this is to vaccinate more people and abort more babies. God help us. Amen. Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he needs to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you getting this, man? Are you getting this? I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. I really do. This is not easy, beloved. It's part of my task as a pastor, but it's not easy. I have targets on my back anyway. Somebody asked me this morning, what's this guy so upset with you about? I said, man, he's been ragging me for years. I get regular stuff like that. But that's okay. I'm not going to give my energy to trying to solve that or turn somebody's opinion about me or whatever. I'm responsible for rightly dividing the word of truth and proclaiming the truth from this pulpit. Every time I stand with a microphone in my hand, I'm responsible for preaching truth, because truth sets people free. Amen? God's plan for creation was for men and women to marry, men and women to marry and have children. A man and a woman form what? A one flesh union through marriage. Genesis 2:24, that is why a man leaves his father and his mother and is united unto his wife, and they become one flesh, and they with their children become a family. The best statement that I'll ever make in this message today, the family is what? The essential building block of a human society. That is the essential building block of a human society. And we're doing everything we can to destroy that. The enemy has our help, our assistance, because we're making it impossible to understand a human society as God intended it. And God has an order in the family, and he's given the command to male and female, to husband and wife, to procreate, to be fruitful, and to multiply. In other words, the translation of that is to do what? To increase in number, male and female, husband and wife, dad and mom. And when you follow the command of the Lord on this awesome building block of our society, you increase the numbers, you multiply. And God tells us to do that, not only how he feels about it, but how we will feel about it. How would we feel about it? Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5. God says, children are an heritage of the Lord. That's why if you get around me, I'm going to take pictures of my family and show them to you. Look at her. Look at him. She's 4 months old. Check this beautiful baby out. Look at her. Look at him. Look at Eli. Because we are proud of family. You do the same thing. Jack comes to me in the hallway this morning. Look who made the first trip to the church today. And he's holding that precious little baby who got a rough start. But she's sitting right back here on the back row today. She's in the house of the Lord, okay? I mean, listen, children are an heritage of the Lord. The Bible says offspring, a reward from God. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen? More kids, more happiness. More kids, more joy. More kids, more bills. I know you were going to, you knew I was going to say that, didn't you? I saw Sheila Shepherd's entry on Facebook yesterday. She referred to her kids as her treasures. Amen. treasures, and remarked earlier on what it was that truly made that family happy was to have all of her kids together here in Ahoskie in one place. Isn't it amazing that we can all remember the TV shows that manifested the greatest blessings and the picture of a human family on the screen? You know, the Waltons, you know, John Boy, Mary Ellen, Jason, Ben, Jim Bob, Aaron, and Elizabeth all lying down at night. Good night, Jim Bob. Good night. Good night, Mary Ellen. They were happy people, man, because they had a lot of family. Happy people. Those children brought them joy. And then there were those old shows like Eight is Enough. Come on. Eight is Enough and the Brady Bunch. Come on. Here's a story. A man named Brady, a man with three boys of his own. But then it didn't get complete until he found a woman with three girls of her own. And together they became the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Isn't that something? I can't remember where I put something yesterday, but I can remember that. Because after school every day, when I got my honey bun from Granddaddy's store and my Pepsi Cola, I'd go home and watch that. Amen. On a black and white TV with Reynolds Wrap on the rabbit ears. Family does matter. And it mattered enough to the Father that He has guidelines for the family. He has a divine order for the family and how it is to be nurtured, how it is to be taken care of, how it is to be provided for, etc. In fact, I love the way the NIV translators have inserted a heading over this biblical passage found in Ephesians chapter 5. They call it Rules for Christian Households. I love that. It will guide this series that we're starting today. And we'll deal with it in this order. Pastor's preaching today. Husbands, love your wives. I'll get to it in a minute. Buckle your seatbelt. There may be some turbulence, okay? Pastor Joy will preach next week. Wives, submit to your husbands. And then Pastor Miranda will preach the following week. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord, for this is what? Right. Amen? So there's a series called Family Matters. The husband, first of all, is the head of the household. Amen? Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Amen. Did you ever know that you're my hero? My wife sings that to me a lot. Everything I would like to be. My wife thinks I'm a hero. Sometimes I feel like a zero, but she makes me feel like a hero. Amen. You see, if husbands love, wives submit. A husband loves and a wife submits. That's the subject that often gets overlooked. Husbands are the head of the house, or totally misinterpreted. The verse of Scripture doesn't empower you, sir, to become a tyrant in the people's lives that God has entrusted to your hands. You don't become a tyrant. It's not your proof text to be the boss, to crack the whip, or even shout those abusive words, I'm the head of this house, that's why I said so. Well, if that's the way you operate your home, you're in a mess. Being the head doesn't mean you wear the pants in this family. That's not being the head. You know what the headship gives you? Accountability and responsibility. That's what you get with headship. It doesn't make you boss, it makes you responsible. Being the head of the house means the accountability for the family lies upon you. It's you who will be held liable and responsible for making sure you led your family according to God's precepts, according to God's standards. It's you who should make sure that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the sad but true reality is many times the husband is absent. Many times the husband is never here. Many times the husband is at home. Many times the husband is not seen. So the wife has to step up and be the head of the house because the husband won't. Man, it's awful quiet in here this morning. But it's just the truth. And then you want to blame her for having a dominant spirit. She had to, because you're a jerk. Okay? She had to step up and lead the way because you wouldn't. Okay? This is tough. It's you who should make certain the kids respect their mom, clean their rooms, feed the dog, follow the standards of the house. It's you who is the head. It's not the buck stops here. It's the responsibility lies here. In fact, the word head, I love this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the word head, for the husband is the head of the wife. That word is the same word that is used that makes Christ the cornerstone of the church. Same word. I'm studying this thing out, rightly dividing the word of truth, and I discover that God sees you, sir, as the head, as he sees Christ as the cornerstone. In other words, it is the starting point of the family makeup. It is the foundation of the home. The husband is the cornerstone. Christ is the true cornerstone, but the husband leads the way. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Yeah, I'm the head of the family, I'm the head of the house, but my wife is the neck that turns the head." You ever heard anybody say that? Don't say that. I'm the head, but my wife is the neck that turns the head. That's a disrespectful statement. You are the head. Well, I'm the head of this house. I tell us how we're going to spend the money. I knew of a husband many, many years ago who would go to the ATM, pull out his card, swipe, get $200 out of the machine. Receipt falls on the ground. He walks away. He does this day after day after day. And the bank is calling the wife. "Hey, you guys have got an issue here. Your account is overdrawn." The husband says, "Well, I'm working." But he was clueless on how to keep up with his money. So who should keep up with the money in that household? The wife. If you're the head, you'll recognize that you're dangerous with an ATM card. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about? You're dangerous with an ATM card. You don't even write anything down. You don't even have a clue what you have or don't have as the head of your home. You know, many times my wife, years ago, she used to say, "Hey, I'm going to get groceries. Is everything okay?" I said, "Sure, why?" She said, "Well, I was just wondering." I said, "Yeah, get what you need." She was trusting who? She was trusting me. In some cases, you have a wife in the home who she is the one who is accountable all the finances because perhaps she is a little better at this. And the husband says, "Hey, I'm getting ready to go out of town for 2 or 3 days, or I'm going to take my card with me. Are we okay?" And the wife says, "Sure, everything's fine. Play all you want. You know, put some gas in your truck, have a good time." Because the wife was the one who keeps up with it. Who should keep up with it? There's not a biblical rule for who should keep up with it. But if you know, sir, that your wife is far better than you. You know, Pastor Joy could tell you in the early years, man, I was a wreck with things like that. I went to work for a company one time that gave me an expense reimbursement check every month. And I would stay in hotels from Edenton to Raleigh. You know, I'd stay in hotels and work out of Raleigh 2 or 3 days. And I'd have to swipe and get my hotel room. And then I'd turn all my expenses in at the end of the month. When I got that expense reimbursement check in the mail, you know what I did? Woo! And I'd go off and just spend it. And then the bill would come for the credit card. I didn't have any money to pay it. Why? Because I spent the reimbursement check like it was my own. Pastor Joy can tell you. Because when they called the home, hey, this is Citibank here. Is Wallace there? No, he's not. What can I help you with? Well, he's past due on, I've been there, guys. I did that. And I used to just buy something so flippantly, just like that. Now it takes me a long time. I'm going to look at it. And then it's still too fast for her. Okay? I still buy things too fast. I might have been looking at it for weeks. But I used to just not even look at it at all. If I wanted it, guess what I did? I just got it. Dangerous. Dangerous. The husband is the head. That means the husband is totally responsible. Okay? So he's to make sure that we're doing what we should do to make this thing work. In other words, being the head of the house is like a chain on a sprocket of your bicycle. The chain runs wonderfully on the sprocket. Okay? That's headship. It is mutual understanding that we are working how together on this. We're going to work in the wisdom of God together on this, and we're going to successfully run this bike down the road like a chain and a sprocket. It's not you cracking the whip because you're the boss. Okay? Many a boss has run his wife away because she couldn't handle his abuse. That word head means you're the cornerstone of your home. Ephesians 5:23. Notice the metaphor that is used in this verse. You, sir, are the head of the house as Christ is the head of the church. You're the natural God-appointed foundation upon which your family is built. The husband is the head of the home. Look, I know many, many cases. Listen, women far outnumber men on planet Earth anyway. There are more ladies on the earth than there are men. And in the church, there is a tremendous deficit of husbands who are at home and wives who always do the church thing. They love God. They want to serve God. They want to lead their household in the things of God. But the husband's not there. He's not there. Such a sad thing, but it's true. We're seeing a wreck on our society because husbands are not living out the headship that God has stamped his approval on their life to be. Secondly, the husband is to do what? Love his wife. Paul continues the husband's role by saying this in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. How are you to love your wife? Check this out. Just as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? Turn this way with me. Christ died for the church. You are to live your life in such a way that you are to sacrificially give yourself in service to your wife. Okay? You wash clothes. You scrub toilets. You clean up. You whatever you have to do to help make the family operate in unity and harmony. Well, I don't do that. Well, hire somebody to do it then. But make sure you're responsible for getting it done. Don't you come in and throw your stuff down and then expect for her to pick it up. Don't you sit to the table and say, where's the meal? Get in there and cook. I said that to a husband just a few weeks ago. Well, there ain't nothing to eat. I said, learn to cook. Okay? Pastor Joy, you remember that? I said to him, man, you need to learn how to cook. If there's no food on the table, you cook. Well, she won't cook anything. Well, you cook. Why don't you serve her a meal and see if this thing don't change? Why don't you love your way to wholeness in that family? See? Because pride, that's why. Because you're so busy trying to wear the britches that you're prideful and you won't allow yourself to serve your wife. You just won't do it. I served my wife this morning. She was getting ready. I was thinking, well, you know, we're going to be busy here the next couple days. There's a couple coffee cups where we had coffee last night. I said, I washed these dishes up. I got the dog straight. I picked up a little bit around the den. And I put some dishwashing liquid in the sink and plugged it up and turned the water on. And I'll go over here and do this. And I put a load of towels on in the washroom and forgot that I turned the spigot on in the kitchen. She's in the bathroom in the spa tub just relaxing, and she's so happy. And I walked in there about 20 minutes later, and she said, "What have you been doing?" "Cleaning up water." I said, "What?" I said, "I've been cleaning up water." I said, "Like an idiot," and I call myself an idiot, okay? I said, "Like an idiot, I was going to be, you know, I was going to be good and just do some things so that it would be all straight for us when we left today. When we come back home in a couple of days, we'll walk into a clean house." But I forgot that I turned the water on. And as fate would have it, that sink just took all the water it could handle and dumped the rest of it over the edge of the counter. And I was up there soaking up water like I don't know what. Got all over everything. Lost two rolls of Bounty paper towels, you know, just... I mean, not using to get water up. I lost them because they were laying in the water underneath the counter. I mean, I'm trying to serve, and guess what happened? You know, here I'm preaching on loving and serving, and the Lord allows this to happen to me. Okay? God, whose side are you on anyway? And God says, "No one's," okay? I'm on no one's side. You just love your wife. You just keep on loving. I don't know what God was trying to do through all that, but maybe I'll get the answer to that later. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It's to be noted in the Bible that husbands are told, "Husbands, love your wives." You can search from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll never see where a wife is told, "Wives, love your husbands." You know why? Because you're cursed with that already. Let that sink in for a second now. That's a curse on your life. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've married people over the years, 300 plus I know. I can't remember the exact number, but I know that many times I've sat with couples who are getting married and I talk to them through counseling sessions, and I would say to them, let's go back to the book of Genesis here. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the marriage, and I would say, let's go back to Genesis. I say, you remember when Adam and Eve were placed in the garden and they sinned, they partook of the fruit of the tree that it was in the midst of the garden, and God placed, here we go, curses, somebody say curses. God placed curses upon man and woman. Upon Adam, what kind of curse did he have? "You will earn your living at the sweat of your brow." Okay? Genesis 3:19. "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust to dust you will return." So he placed this curse upon man that you will work. Work, work. That's why you work so hard, and when you get off, what do you want to do? Play, play, play. This is my time. I'm going fishing. I'm playing golf. I'm going hunting. I'm doing what I want to do. Why? Because you've worked so hard, now all you want to do is play. And that's okay. But to the wife, he says, "Eve, here's yours." And I ask couples so many times, do you know what the curse was on the woman? And how many of y'all know what the curse was on the woman? Say it, please. She will have pain in childbirth, right? Wrong. That's partially right. She will have pain in childbirth. And I would say to these couples, listen, you need to understand something. The woman did receive a curse, and yes, she would bear children in pain. But it's not all of it. Look at what it says in Genesis 3:16. "To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children, and your desire shall be for your husband." In other words, what is he saying? You'll love that rascal. I don't care if he is a jerk. You're still going to love him. You got this, ladies? So no matter how much of a jerk he is, how much he has disappointed you, how much he has made you mad, you will still love him. Why? because you're cursed with that kind of feelings about him. And so you are never told, wives, love your husbands, because you do already. That's good preaching whether you say anything about it or not. This is the Bible. The woman is cursed with an innate love for her husband. Sometimes I'm just a jerk. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just do the wrong thing, make a mistake, do something stupid, anger my wife. And the next day, it's as if nothing ever happened, okay? I was like, whew. Wake up in the morning like, is she okay? Good morning. Hey, how are you doing today? You know, man, got off of that one. And, you know, I don't dare say, are you okay with yesterday? You know, no. Don't mention it. Don't mention it. Because she hasn't said a word. Why? Because she loves me. Why? Because she's been cursed with the love for me. That's a challenging way to say it, but listen, biblically, that's true. Your desire will be for your husband, and guess what else? He will rule over you. He will be the head, okay? He will be responsible over you, okay? So you see, woman has this innate love she has for her husband. Some of you ladies here, you could tell us the stories, man, of how your husband has mistreated you, abused that relationship, done some wrong things. But still, this is a tremendous example. I'm coming somewhere with this. This is a tremendous example of agape love. It is unconditional. Yes, he did wrong, but I love him. Are y'all with me? So let's hang on for a second. Let's flip the switch. Husbands, do what to your wives? Love them. With what kind of love? You can look. It's not storge. It's not phileo. It's not even eros, which is sexual love. Husbands, love your wives is what kind of love? Agape. Husbands, love your wives without condition. But you, husbands, love your wives without condition. I don't care what she did. You love her. You give yourself to her in every way. And don't forget to take the trash out. Okay? Okay. You know what? It'll make your life a whole lot easier if you'll just grab the bag. Don't wait till she has to tell you. You know, it's running over, it smells. There's a chicken package that's been in there where y'all cook chicken Monday night. And by Friday, behold, it's like Lazarus. It stinketh, okay? Take the bag out, okay? Take it out. Take it to the trash. At least get it to your truck, okay? And don't wait till your truck has 13 bags in it. Go to the dump, okay? Hello, okay. Let me close today by reading the last few words of Paul to the Ephesians. Chapter 5, verses 28 to 33. If you're having a good time, say amen. Amen. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Because he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. There's another whole problem. Some guys have never left mom and dad. I know some like that. And so mom and dad become the initial problem in your marriage all of your life. You never left home. Be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, he says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know what she wants from you? She wants love from you. You know what you want from her? Respect. Respect. You want her to respect you. You want her to appreciate what your job is. You want her to be thankful. She may not like it at all, but you want her to respect the fact that you work hard and do the best you can. You know, I just have it built inside of me. I'll do a little task around the house or something, or do something in the yard. And my wife and I have been married for 40 years. And as soon as I finish it, I just can't help it. You know what I do? I finished. And so I go inside the house. Hey, Joy! Joy, yeah, baby, what is it? I said, you got a minute? You got a minute? She says, yeah, what you need? I said, come here. Look at there. Look at there. What do you think? I finished building that drum cage, okay? What do you think? She says, oh, honey, you did a good job. That is amazing. I know. No, but here's what happens. Hey, honey, look, check this out. Look. What'd you do? I said, I built a drum kit. We don't need a drum kit. Did you put it on a card? Wrong way to respond, man. You'd be far better if you said, oh, nice drum kit. 3 days later, you're sitting at a restaurant eating. Then you bring it up. Hey, sweetheart. You know, the other day you showed me the drum kit that you build. Did you pay for that? Well, yeah. How did you pay for it?
I charged it.
So what? I charged it. I thought we weren't doing credit cards. Yeah, I'm sorry, honey. Why didn't we talk about it? But you see, she didn't disrespect him. She talked about it, but she never disrespected him. It'll go a whole lot easier if you won't attack what he's done. Husbands, love your wives. Okay? You're the head. Husbands, love your wives. And the wife must respect her husband. Thirdly and finally, I'm going to ask Jeff and Kasia and maybe one of their children just to come join me on the platform. Thirdly and finally, husbands are to protect their families. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verses are 4 and 5. These two verses both call this man a great leader because he's the leader that does what? He rules his household well. He's a leader who rules his household well. Let me illustrate for you. This is a powerful word in the original language. It's your job, sir. This is what God's called you to do. It is a Greek word, proistemi. Proistemi. You see, you can't go to the Webster's Dictionary to find words to biblical definitions of biblical words. You have to have a lexicon or use the computer and look it up, the blue ones, you know, click on it. Proistemi, man, which means that he's called, the husband is called to superintend, to guide, to set over, to protect, and to guard. It's just like this. Jeffrey, come on up here, Jeffrey. Jeffrey is the proistemi man of the Carter household. He's the man. You're the rock, bud. Show us what you got, man. Come on. Come on. Stand here just like this. Come on. Cross them arms, man. Look like the pastor, man. Look like you bad news. Come on. Okay? You're a proistemi man. Okay? He's taken the rightful position. He's loving his wife. He recognizes that he is the head of his home. And he's the proistemi man because he's called to lead his family well. And so he lines up here with the onslaught of the devil at him all the time. And his wife, He's the head of his wife, so she comes up and she stands behind him. Because if the devil's going to get to Kaijah, she's going through the man. Okay? If you're going to get to Kaijah, man, you're going through me first. And then all of the kids. Here's Aubrey. Look at precious little Aubrey. Happy birthday, Aubrey. I didn't make it to your party yesterday. I didn't make it to your party yesterday, but happy birthday. All right? Praise the Lord. You're costly. I didn't know I didn't have any ones, okay? So Aubrey is the kid. She's got her dad, who's the Prehistamy man. He's the one who rules his household well. And he has his wife, whom he loves. He loves her. And now he is not only loving her, but he's protecting her. And he says, sweetheart, you are sheltered in protection behind me. And all of the kids, Aubrey, she stands behind, because if the devil's going to get to Aubrey, the devil's going to have to go through Jeff, the Prehistamy man, through Kaijah, the mom, and he can get to Aubrey. And then Kyrie, he's up in kids' church. And then there's Skybug, okay? We didn't have them all here, but you follow what I'm saying? Jim Bob, Mary Ellen, Aaron, Elizabeth. Look, man, you got more coming, Bubba. You got more coming. You ain't done, bruh. You ain't done. You ain't done. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. More babies. Amen. Come on, give it up for them. Give it up for them. You're called to be the head. You're called to be the head. You're called to love her. And you're called to rule your household well. You protect your family. Okay? If the enemy's going to penetrate this family, he's going to go through the strength of the head. Okay? Family matters. It does. Husbands, let's lead by loving our wives. Let's teach our kids how our family is led, okay? Some of you worked it all your life. If I ever wanted a yes, I bypassed my dad and went to my mom. Anybody else do that besides me? Because dad was going to say what? No. Okay? Because I knew in my heart of hearts the answer was probably already what? No. But I would manipulate and go to mom and ask her, because she was more likely to say yes. See, you learn that as a kid, and that's what you bring to your adult relationships. How to manipulate the relationship. And sometimes it catches you off guard. So accountability is a good thing. Answering to your father is a good thing, okay? Husbands, love your wives. Teach your kids how the family's led. We're the ones who are held responsible. We are the building blocks to a healthy society. Worship team, join me, would you? A healthy society that we don't see today, okay? We don't see it. Because that role has been undermined, okay? That role's been undermined. That role has been redefined. Okay? Redefined. My heart is broken today because I see what the enemy has done to the family. Ran across a text not too long ago called the Gay-BCs. Google it. It's out there on Amazon. You can buy the text that teaches young kids the alphabet using homosexual terms. The gay BCs, not the ABCs, the gay BCs. You should check that out. You should always check out what the pastor says. Amazon has them available. All you got to do is just order it. You can help teach your kids alternative ways. See? No. What about the Bible? What about the Bible that says, male and female created he them? You know, he. You know, man. You know, boys, trains, fire trucks. Boom, boom. Guns, cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians. Come on. We used to play that when we were kids. And then girls. Girls who like babies. And mud pies. And kitchens. They grow up and they're this amazing power of socialization, where how we teach and how we lead creates the adults who run our world in the future. It's too late, Pastor. It's too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. We can invest in our children and teach them the truth. Amen. Teach them how to handle a dollar. I remember when Zach got aggravated with me. Got those license, man. He wanted that truck. He wanted that brand new truck. And I remember him saying to me, he said, Dad, look at my friends. Look at his truck. Look at that truck right there. I said, Zach, you don't know the story, man. You don't know what's behind that. So one day I broke the news to him and I said, listen, I'm just telling you, I am not signing for your truck. I don't do that. I said, you will buy your own truck. You will get your own credit, okay? I'll teach you how to do it. Get yourself a card. I told all my kids this. I told Abby this. Abby's going to buy a house. She told Pastor Joy, I said, this isn't going to turn out well. I know she wants a house. She's tired of rent, but she's not going to work out well because I don't think she has credit established. It's not that she has bad credit, but I said, Abby, this is what you do. We were in Raleigh. I said, get you a credit card at Belk's there at Crabtree Valley Mall. Go ahead and fill it out. Get, you know. And the lady at the register, I remember it like it was yesterday, she said, congratulations, Abby. You're approved. How many of you have heard, sorry, you're not approved. You have to contact this number. You know, you ever had to call that number? You didn't want to call that number. Congratulations, Abby, you're approved. I said, Abby, go over there and buy something. Go there and buy something. Use your credit card. She goes over and buys about $50 worth of stuff, pays for it. I said, now go to the register over there and make a payment on your account. She said, well, I haven't got the bill yet. I said, don't wait for it. Pay the bill. And do this again next week. And do this again next month. And I'll never forget when the Southern Bank representative said to her, Abby, we're not able to finance your home. I said, Abby, just keep doing what you're doing. But I've been doing that. I said, just keep doing what you're doing. And Abigail, as a single young woman, she owned her home before she ever got married in her own name, nobody else. No mom and dad signing. No, sir. I'm not signing for you. Same thing with this guy right here. I'm not signing for your truck. I didn't sign for your truck, your other truck, your other truck, your house. My name is not on any document of anything that he has. And I didn't help him. Well, actually, I really did help him. Because I showed him how to do it the right way. Okay? You know why I showed him how to do it the right way? Because I did it the wrong way. Okay? But I was just being the head. You're going to have a child one day. And he's going to ask you, Dad, I'd like to have a truck. Will you sign for me at the bank? And you're going to look at him and say, son, I don't sign for my kids to get trucks, okay? You know why? Because you've been down that road, okay? I'm not signing for you to get a truck. God's called you to be the head. He's called you to love your wife. And he's called you to be Prehistomy Man, who has a big S on his chest that says, I'm a super guy. And if you're going to get to my family, you're going through me.
Go ahead, Satan. Make my day.
Okay. You're not getting to my family. All right? Father, in Jesus' name, all over this building right now, I'm asking you to speak to males, men, married men, single men, young men. Would you, Lord, deposit inside of them a desire to be a godly man? There's some disappointed men sitting in this room because they didn't have a godly dad. They didn't have a dad who behaved the biblical way. And so they're trying to pick up the pieces and lead in a way that was never shown them by their own father. God, would you right now, would you erase the damages? Come on. Erase the damages that have been done over young men. In the name of Jesus. Would you do it, Lord? I'm going to ask all my men to stand here today. Come on, just stand up in the house. Some of y'all have got a bachelor's degree in being a father. You've already raised your kids. They're gone. They're all efficient, self-productive. They do all this. They've done it all. But maybe still you're saying, God, I just wish I'd have did some things differently. I remember sitting one day with Josh and sitting to his face and said, son, I need to apologize to you. He said, for what, Dad? I said, when we raised you, I said, you were first out of the gate, man. I said, we did some things and we probably didn't do them the right way. So I just need to ask you to please forgive me. He said, Dad, you were a good dad. I said, no, I don't want any accolades. I don't want any accolades. I just need to say to you, I am sorry for the areas that I just didn't do well. He said, okay, I receive that. I don't know what's going on in your heart, Pastor Mike or Roger or Chucky, Lee, Garrick, I don't know what you're thinking about or where you're headed, but you know what? God does. He does. He knows exactly where you're heading. I don't know what's in the recesses of your heart, Scott. I have no idea. But you know what? God does. He knows. He knows where you'll be a year from now, what you'll be doing. And so right now, I'm just going to ask for the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. Just to flood the hearts of every man in this room. Some of you men are standing with regret. Man, I wish I'd have never done that. I got some stuff like that too. Wish I'd have never done that. But guess what, Joel? I did. I did it. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now by the power of your Spirit to release your forgiveness. Where some men in this room may feel like, I just made some grave mistakes. Thank you, Lord, that true love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, according to your word. 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. The Lord says, what are you talking about? What mistake are you talking about? Lord, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for divine leadership. Thank you that you're called us to be the men that you've called us to be today. And look, come on, guys, lift your hands up to the Lord right now. God, would you, by the Holy Ghost, would you give them a spiritual download of your love and cause every man in this room to be the men that you've called them to be. Be the men that you've called them to be. Give them courage to lead in a godly manner, in a biblical manner. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, men. Clap your hands. God loves me. God forgives me. God's called me to a place of headship in my home. Some of you are thinking, man, I'm not even married. Guess what? You will be. You're going to be married. But watch this guy right here, man, date a woman country away and married her and had to wait how long before she got to America? Long time, couple of years, waiting for that approval that she can cross the border and be with me. Okay? I know, I see him on Facebook all the time taking her out to eat. I see him on loving her and taking pictures. Yeah, maybe that's what you want. Don't be jealous. Be thankful. Okay? The Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. Receives favor from the Lord. So thank you, God, for favor. Amen. Thank you for favor, Lord. Thank you for favor. Your favor's name is Elaine, right? Your favor's name's Joyce. Your favor's name's Doris, right? Amen. Your favor's name's Sydney, right? You got favor. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Come on. Wives, why don't you stand up and slap that guy on his back and say, man, I love you. You're a jerk sometimes, but I love you. Come on, hug your wife. Come on, hug your wife right here in the house of the Lord today. Amen. All right. Could I get our men just to step out today and stand on these steps? Come on, just stand on these steps and let's let the women take a picture of the battalion of men that make up this church this morning. Come on, all men. Calling all men just for a quick pic. Come on. Quick picture. Come on, give it up. Put your muscles out here. Bohistomy, man. All the men. Come on, men. All the young men, too. Come on. 18, 19, 20, 21. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, look at that. Look at all these men. Praise God. Come on, you guys. Come on. Some of y'all get up here on the top level. There you go. Get up here on the top level. Closing up a little bit. All these men. There you go. Closing up a little bit. Over. Come on, guys. Come on around here. A little closer. There you go. How many of you men are married? If you got married, hold that hand up like that. All right? Look at that. Put your hands down. How many of you men are single? Raise your hand. Check them out, ladies. Check them out. Single men. Woohoo! Single men. Applications in the foyer, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you for men. I thank you, Lord, for a house full of men. Godly men. Men who serve their families. Men who love their wives. Men who wash dishes. Men who don't mind cooking. Men who get up and go to work every day, earn the money. Amen. Thank you for godly men. Thank you for grandfathers. Amen. Thank you for grandpas. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, strike a pose for me, guys. Come on. Give it up like this. Come on. Come on. Come on. Put your arms down there. Let's go. Show them muscles. Show them muscles. Come on, guys. Show them muscles. There you go. I love it. Can I just say something as a pastor to you, every one of you? I appreciate you because you are faithful. You know, I look out here every Sunday of my life, and there you are. You know what that says? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You guys are faithful. And I speak blessing over you, the peace of God over you, provision over you, protection over you. May the Father be the Bohistomy man in your life. May he be the provision in your life. In Jesus' strong name. We love you guys, man. God bless you. Give them a hand, would you? Come on. Hallelujah. Sing it, guys. Come on, sing it. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, we're talking about women, okay? Why? Because family matters, all right? family matters. It really does. It really does. God bless you. Hey, seniors, 60 and older, your lunch is in the back today. All you got to do is go all the way back to the building, the back end of the building, and we appreciate it. If you're a guest here today, please join us in the Welcome Center. We'd love to give you a free gift. Wish you all have a great day.